Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Tavares King, and we have a very special guest here with us tonight. This is former Georgia running back legend, NFL running back great, Knowshon Moreno. Knowshon, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
What's going on, fellas? Appreciate you having me. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to join you guys. Man, I see you guys doing great things. So, thanks for having me.
That's it.
My dog. Appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on for sure. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about. Obviously, the Natty. It's a good one. Going to be a big one. Another all SEC matchup. We hype. We talking about it. We talking everything about this Natty. So let's do it.
Yeah. So I guess the kind of where I wanted to start with you guys is this is really kind of different in terms of Georgia. Because it's the first time since back in 2017 when they faced Auburn twice in a season that they've faced an opponent twice. And we all know what happened the second time around with Auburn. Now, a little bit different animal this time with Bryce Young and Jameson Williams on the other side. But I guess, Knowshon, where I first wanted to start, and TK, you played in the league as well. You can speak to this. I mean, when you are in the NFL, you face teams – in your division twice in a year and sometimes in a matter of a couple of weeks all the time. So just kind of you guys talk back and forth for us about what are some of the things you can learn from a recent matchup and how much can you actually change in a game plan and things like that going into the next one?
You want to get
it first? Yeah, I think, in the league, I don't know, it's kind of different in the aspect of everyone's doing the same thing, you know what I mean? So, I mean, even though we might go into a week and we might run one play, it's not something different that we haven't done before, or it's not something like totally out of the norm, you know what I mean? Maybe the Raiders might even run the same play, just, you know, out of a different package. So,
right. It's definitely copycat league.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, you might do some tweaking of some of your plays, but it's going to just come out of different looks. Still going to be the same play, but we might have a bunch, or, you know, we might come out of four wide or something like that. But it's still going to be the same play at the end of the day.
Right.
The beautiful thing that we had was Peyton, you know what I mean? Where he gets in the line and he might give us a dummy call. And that team has heard that, you know, that same dummy call all week, 2 weeks in a row, and then we come out and we say that same dummy call, but it's a totally different play. So,
I mean, from that perspective, you're not going to change up a lot of what you do. Like you said, P did do a lot of dummy call stuff that would just have people going crazy and have people looking foolish. But from an opponent standpoint, I feel like what you're going to get just from 2 weeks removed of playing somebody is that freshness. You're going to know them. You're going to know who they are. You're going to know what they have to offer, what they have to bring to the table, because especially in a SEC championship like we just played, we got those guys best. And I think you saw that we got their best. So you're going to know what you're going up against for sure. But obviously there's going to be tweaks, game plan tweaks, things that Coach Saban and his staff do that are different. But to a man, when it comes down to it, you're going to know what you're getting.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of knowing what you're getting, the second time around, Georgia is a favorite in this game. And they're a three-point favorite. I know Kirby Smart wants to kill those people out in Vegas right now for making Georgia a favorite again, given Saban some of that yummy rat poison that my man was talking about after it. He said, usually y'all give us bad rat poison. He said, but the rat poison this week, that was yummy. So, I mean, that man was enjoying the hyping his team up like that. Right. So now, I mean, but as a player, how do you guys, I mean, I'm sure you've been on both ends of the spectrum, been, you know, favorites in games and underdogs and things like that. How much as a college player can a coach really get into, like, I guess your head with motivation and stuff like that at that level versus, I know the pros, you got a job to do, but right. College, right. How much emotion and mental psyche type stuff goes into that?
Well, me personally, I ain't need anyone to get me hyped for the game. You know what I mean? And I feel like for the guys, it should be the same way. You know what I mean? This is a big game. They already know what happened in the last ones, right? So they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder like, nah, that's not happening again. You know what I mean? I feel like the guys would really play like that. And I don't think you need the coaches to hype you up, but they will. They'll hype you up with, you know, those pregame videos that they play before the game and the night before and things like that. But when it comes down to it, when the lights, camera, action on, it's the national championship. Them boys are going to be ready.
Yeah, if you need any extra damn juice, any extra smelly salt for this one, then shit, your ass is dead. You're dead because it's the one. This is what you've been playing for all year. This is what you've been putting that hard work in for all year. So if you need anything, any extra motivation from a coach, then you need to stay on the sideline on this one, brother. And I don't think either side, Georgia or Bama, needs any extra motivation. With that yummy rat poison that they put out there, they don't need no motivation. They're feeding into that beast 100%. And obviously, with them beating us the way they did, that's our rat poison. So it's gonna be a good one, bro. It's yeah. Don't nobody need no rah-rahs, none of that. Well, they don't need it.
Yeah, I need us to go into that playbook like we did in that last game with that halfback pass, whatever it takes, really, at the end of the day.
Stretches that thing down the field. The mailman was those long distance deliveries down there in Miami, Miami Gardens down there. But speaking of that 3-point spread, guys, we do have to thank our sponsor, Bet Online. Bet Online has been there through all the whole March through the bowl season. The pro football playoffs are coming up after this week 18. I know, TK, you probably got some opinions on that. You, Mr. NFL PA Association over there. I know we could go off on a whole tangent over there with the week 18 and the injuries and stuff. But Bet Online, guys, it's the number one spot for all your sports action this season. So remember to head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus. Basketball, NBA is going on. Like I said, still some football left. NHL, boxing, UFC, even on down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers on this 2022 season of sports. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. So now you got the bills paid, got that out of the way, guys. We can break down this matchup because you have Georgia and Alabama, both 13-1. Of course, Georgia's lone loss came about 4 weeks ago to Alabama, actually a month from yesterday in the SEC championship game. You know, Georgia is a 3-point favorite, so I think what Vegas is telling us there is that they think Georgia has more ways to win the game than Alabama does. Not necessarily that they're 3 points better than them, but in just a straight up vacuum, but that I think they're saying, listen, Georgia has more ways to win this game than Alabama does. Really, Alabama's one way to win this game is to do what they did last time and torch Georgia's secondary, man. And but I just want y'all's insight going into the second time around, Georgia and Alabama. After seeing what we did last month, though, Sean, what are some keys you think for each side? I mean, you can talk to Georgia's side and Alabama. I mean, what do you think some things that need to happen for both sides in this game?
Yeah, I'm going to talk Georgia because, listen, we need this one. No, I mean, I feel like the first game was close. I mean, it was still close. We did let up and give up some big plays, especially in the passing game where, you know, we were up 10-0. And then they turn around and strike right away with like a 60 or 50 yarder. So we can't have that. I mean, another thing that I noticed was they scored 24 in the second. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of points to be scoring on us, right? We didn't give up that much the whole year. So definitely limit those scoring opportunities, especially in the first half. Keep it close. And turnovers, though. We turned the ball over twice. I mean, even one time is too many. So we turned it over twice. We didn't get any pressure on their quarterback. They got, I think, three sacks on us. We got zero. So we got to put pressure on their quarterback, you know what I mean, force them into some bad decisions. Or if they have to, if you have to come up and make a tackle, you know what I mean, for 4 yards, 5 yards, we'd do that. We just can't give up those big plays like we did in that first game.
Absolutely. TK, I mean, I know, you know, Noshon's saying can't give up those big plays. Got to slow down that offense, but a little bit easier said than done. Speaking mm-hmm. from a receiver position, you know, with you having been the number one option for Georgia when Aaron Murray was there, obviously Jameson Williams is the number one option for Bryce Young with Alabama. So when you're the number one receiver, I guess talk to it from Jameson Williams' standpoint. What would you not want to see Georgia's secondary do to you?
Obviously, which I think we will do, but every good receiver, every number one receiver at some point in their career gets bracketed. And what I mean by that is you have a shell, a defender over you, which is a corner, and then safety help over the top. They're going to get we're going to bracket them. Obviously, he's not going to want to see that, but hopefully from a Georgia perspective, that's going to limit him. A guy like that, you're going to want to get in his face, you know, press him, disrupt them at the line, which is going to then disrupt that timing with Bryce Young. And especially, this is one of my keys to victory. It was one of my keys to victory last time, and it didn't happen. We got to get home. That's you know, I said it before, and I say it again. That's the key. That's been the key to success all year for this team. And the one time it doesn't happen, you see what happens. So us getting home to Bryce Young is crucial. And then for them, I think the batter, I think they have to do that. He has to escape that pocket and make plays and find a weapon other than a Jameson Williams, because Jameson Williams will be bracketed. He will have some type of shell look over.
Now, Noshon, when it comes to Georgia's running backs, right, I felt like Georgia maybe even though they were down, yes, in that game, and when you're down, obviously the game plan changes a little bit. Felt like they abandoned the run a little bit early. They were getting some times where James Cook and Zamir White were getting, you know, breaking off some decent runs, 5-6 yard chunks. But even you know, for a full extent of the year, there's been not really that huge breakout yet for Zamir White. You know, I mean, just to really feed him and get him going. James Cook kind of had a coming out party mm-hmm. last week. I feel like if Georgia could get Zamir White really going in this game, obviously that's going to help them with time of possession, stuff like that. What have you seen out of this Georgia run game this year, and what do you think that they could do better in this game to maybe get Zeus, even a Kendall Milton, mm-hmm. those bigger backs going?
Yeah, I mean, we had that, I mean, you could say problem, but it wasn't a problem. I mean, when I was there, just having so many backs and trying to get them all the ball, you know what I mean, get them warm. But I think we did a good job, and I think these guys do a good job as well when they are in the game and making the best of those opportunities. So, I mean, I really like what I'm seeing with Cook and all them boys catching the ball out the backfield, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, not all the time we're going to be able to, you know, get 15 yards or slam it up in there. Sometimes you got to get out there and be an outlet for that quarterback as well. So I do like what I'm seeing with the catching the ball out the backfield. But at the end of the day, someone's going to have to be that one and be like, give me that rock. It's more of an attitude thing, you know what I mean? The guys, they're all good. But at the end of the day, someone's going to have to say, this is my running game right now. Give me the ball. I'm going to get that 5. I'm going to get that 10. And then go from there.
Yeah, now, somebody got to be the horse. I feel
you have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of a horse, I mean – Brian Robinson just absolutely toted the mail, 204 yards for Alabama versus Cincinnati in their semifinal matchup. I mean, obviously, same can be said for them. If they were able to get Brian Robinson for Alabama, if they were able to get Brian Robinson and Trey Sanders going. But do either one of y'all feel like these running games for either team are going to gain much traction in this one? I feel like it's going to come down to the arms of these quarterbacks, honestly.
Yeah, my second key to victory for offense is how Stetson plays this game. If he plays the way he played that last game, in the sense of touchdown to check down and then running when he has to, you know what I'm saying? If he plays that way, I think we'll be fine. But it's definitely contingent on the way he plays the quarterback position. If he's running the ball and making them make decisions, making plays, extending plays as well, then I think the success of this offense is at its peak. That's when I think the success of this offense is at its peak.
Yeah, the first game was a close rushing game from both sides. I mean, Georgia had like 109 and Alabama had like 115 or something like that. So it was
a close. A lot of that came from Bryce Young.
But hey, if we can get the run game going, that's only going to help the passing game. So and vice versa. So yeah, they got to get up in there.
Now, I think one thing in terms of, I mean, we've obviously talked about these keys, you know, for Georgia. I think it's kind of determined that Georgia's going to stop most everybody's run game to a certain extent. How do they control? It's two guys on that offense. How do they control Bryce Young, and how do they limit Jameson Williams on the line of scrimmage? Things like that. TK's talked about bracketing, being more physical, maybe at the top of the route, stuff like that. For Alabama, I think the things that they're going to have to do to worry about is, you see, Nick Saban is very concerned about Brock Bowers. I mean, he put up had a big game in the SEC championship game, and then if Jermaine Burton is healthy and looking good like he did in the Orange Bowl, and you sprinkle a little George Pickens in there, I think all of a sudden that gives Alabama's defense, which is down a starting corner and Josh Job and things like that, that gives them little room to worry about things on the defensive side, providing Georgia doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I think we got a little advantage out wide. I was very happy and pleased with the way Jermaine played last week. He played awesome. Our tight ends, both of them, big old. And Brock obviously have played awesome all year. They played good, but I think the success from the outside position comes from what Coach Monken knows that he has in these cats. He puts them in a lot of good situations. You'll often see them running wide open. Even Kiaris the other day getting the ball in his hands quick. That's what you want to do with a dude like that. Mm-hmm. Special things happen when you do that. So I think hats off to Coach Monken for sure for knowing what he has in this group.
Out there for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for knowing what he has. So I think, Blaine, I think for sure these guys could give the Alabama secondary some issues.
Now, the thing that Georgia is going to – you know, Sean, you talked about it. Georgia has to worry about with Alabama is they have two elite pass rushers there in Will Anderson and Dallas Turner. You said three sacks. You know, now Will Anderson didn't have one, but Alabama as a team had three sacks in that first game. You know, what kind of challenge – you know, you've watched – both of you have watched a lot of football, a lot of film over the years, things like that. What do you see out of this Alabama defense that makes it – you know, so worrisome? And so is it just the overall speed? Is it something about, you know, Nick Saban's scheme? What is it about it that makes it so difficult to attack each and every game?
I think it's all of that. He puts it, they're coached well, and he knows how to put his players in the right positions to, you know, make plays. And they're not going to make that many mental errors. You know what I mean? A lot of guys might get out of their lanes or things like that up front, but they're not like that. They know how to attack that quarterback and get pressure, either with their front or with pressure from the backs. So I think for us, we have to kind of do what we did in this game, because you know, Michigan had a decent line as well. Was our backs, where I saw them chipping a lot in that game, making sure that those ends didn't get around those corners, stay up off that quarterback, and then they got up out on their routes late. So I really like that aspect of it. Make sure you just keep it back in for a little extra help if you need to, and then get out on your route.
Well, Tavares, you know, before we're going to talk bigger picture now, after we've kind of talked about this you know, the X's and O's of this game. I want each of you to give some keys right here, and also, like, who do you think wins and why, and what's gonna, and what do you think is gonna happen? I mean, this is you may want to play some reverse psychology in this game. You may, who knows? You may want to throw something out there just in case.
I ain't doing it. He gonna have to eat this rat poison. Overall, you know, I'm obviously hoping we get it done. I feel like we have the ability to. Obviously, I said my two keys. One for the defense. Obviously, I said it last game. I'm gonna say it again this game. It's getting home, bro. If we get home, that's the key. That's the key, bro. If that front seven is flying around, you know, playing with their hair on fire, and can get to him and get him down, then success will be fine. Again, we'll bracket Jameson, have somebody to take care of Slade Bolden, whoever else they want to throw out there. And I feel good about our defense doing their thing. And then the key on offense is number 13, bro. That's the key, bro. If he plays like everybody, if he plays like the guy everybody fell in love with, we're going to be all right, bro. And that's just playing cool, calm, and collective, and not doing too much, not doing what's anything that's not asked of you. And, yeah, man, I think it's going to be all right. That being said, I do like the points. The 3-point spread, I do like it. I'm going to go dogs 34-31.
All right, so he's going to push on the spread right there. He's going to push on the spread. No, Sean, what do you think? What do you think ends up being the critical factors of this game? And then, you know, what's the outcome? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. Limit those on defense, you know, limit those big plays. You know, keep everything in front of you. Make them go to long haul. More of a bend, don't break mentality. You know what I mean? Don't let them get in that zone. Make them kick, you know, plenty field goals. And then we'll see where we are when that comes into play. And then for the offense, same thing. Like he said, our quarterback, you know, Bennett has to play a great game, limit those turnovers, and take what the defense is giving us. You know what I mean? And in that run game, you got to come alive. Someone's going to have to be that spark. I don't know if it's going to be one of the receivers or the backs, but I'd rather it be a back, you know what I mean, to go ahead and start the game off right and be like, hey, this is going to be a physical game, and we here. Let's rock. You know, I love seeing that. So we do those things. It's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a close game no matter what. But my score was 30-24 Georgia. I think we just limit the big plays, and we just put a little bit more on the scoreboard than they do.
Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing game for sure. I think this one's going to be much, much closer of a game in terms of the scoreboard either way. Mm-hmm. I think that if I'm looking from it for a key for Alabama, my key for Alabama is if I'm them, I am dialing up deep shots to Jameson Williams every four or five plays, man. I'm taking my shots and saying, okay, Georgia's secondary, mm-hmm. have you learned your lesson? Can you be aggressive with him at the top of the route? Can you stay over top when you're trying to double cover, things like that? So I think Alabama will need to continue to test with the deep shots, and they'll probably also need to get Latu or Billingsley involved on the intermediate routes to kind of help make up for John Metchie not being there. Now, in terms of Georgia, I think the things Georgia needs to do to win, I agree with TK. They have to get home and on the defensive front. But here's the thing about that. Alabama, they started Seth McLaughlin from Buford for the first start. It's like first start ever, first or second start ever in the SEC championship game at center. Well, now they have Emil Ekior with a shoulder injury and Chris Owens with an ankle. They're right guard and right tackle. Both are hurt coming into this game. You don't want to be banged up going against that Georgia front seven. I mean, even if you play, if you're playing injured, you guys can speak to this. You know, know, Sean, I know you've had, you and TK both have had to play with a ton of injuries before, especially at that offensive line. I feel like that could be a big factor. Robert Beall really had a great game against against Michigan. He would be coming off that right side. The defense is left. I think Georgia's pass rush is going to get to Bryce Young this game. I really do. I think they're banged up. And, you know, I haven't put my official prediction out on UGASports.com yet. That usually comes on Thursdays. So I'm going to have to Roddy get real mad with me over there in my other gig if I put my prediction on this. I'm going to let y'all go with y'all's first. But okay. But I have to get back with it. But I think this is going to be close game either way. Like it's going to be within a field goal. I don't see anybody running away with this thing, a 10 point game. Who knows? Maybe we get an OT game. I just hope it doesn't end like that Auburn game where you go to the 2-point mess.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want that either.
We
already did one of those.
I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, the last thing I wanted to ask you guys in terms is more bigger picture, like in terms of college football, the direction it's going, because you've got two SEC teams here in the final. So a lot of people are arguing that's not good for college football. There needs to be playoff expansion and things like that. And then people who are countering that are saying, well, if you expand the playoff, then you may have four SEC teams in the final four. What is y'all's opinion on how the playoff is now? Should there be more teams? Should it reduce down to back to two? Like, what are your opinions on all that?
I think they could add some teams for sure. But then, like you said, there might be some more SEC schools as well. But and because we're playing the best ball, and that's just proven. So
it's always that way, though. Come on.
Yeah. So I mean, either way you cut it, whether you add more teams or not, it's still going to match up that way.
Well, you guys look at it
in the game.
You guys look at it during your Georgia careers. If it was four teams, both of you would have gotten to play in a college football playoff.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah. During the BCS era, y'all, I think you finished third one time, right? Right outside the top two. I think that was the year that you guys, Noshon, went to and beat the crap out of Hawaii in the Sugar Bowl.
Were three. Okay, yep. Yeah. So then they made us number one that next year.
Number one the next year after that. So that was 2007 and then 2008. Mm-hmm. And then TK, the year that you guys lost in the SEC championship game, I think you guys finished at three right there mm-hmm. that year too. So there's ups and downs of it for all of them. But here's my thing when it comes to the playoff. I just think, I mean, you're already seeing Georgia blow out the Big Ten champion.
Right.
And you're seeing Alabama, you know, just basically take it easy on Cincinnati. I mean, they could have beat them as bad as they wanted to. They shortened that game. They said, hey, we're going to show you we can run the ball down your throat and just make you like it, you know, the 204 yards rushing with Brian Robinson. So imagine what would happen if they're lining up out there against Coastal Carolina as a team, or, you know,
I mean, got a point.
He's going to get ugly in a hurry, you know, on some of these first round playoff games.
Yeah, that's not even fun. In that sense, like, I mean, I get it. It's probably good for the other schools, but at the end of the day, you want to watch good ball and you want the best people playing the games. So
yeah. And you want it to mean something too, you know what I mean? You don't want these guys just going out and just playing the game because he's like, "Oh, we're gonna smack them," you know what I mean? Like, when I mean, I like it. I like the four. I think I like the four. You know what I mean? Make it competitive, straight to the point, and let's get it. You know, I like the format, but I guess you can see a plus in all of it, though. Yeah.
And then the last thing I wanted to ask you guys as we're winding down this college football season, this has been the first season that we've really had the full impact of NIL, right? It's coming into play with recruiting. It's came into play this year with, you know, players at Clemson and Miami, and even big Jordan Davis, his mug is on billboards for law firms and all that kind of stuff around here. My first question is, Noshon, how much money could you have made in college when if you were there getting NIL? You would have done well, my friend. I mean, no doubt you were a marketable guy for sure. But what is y'all's opinion on the NIL and how do you think that the college game is – how do you think it's going to be impacted by this whole situation?
Yeah, I think we would have – it would have been a great time for sure. I mean, it would have been, you know, a lot of guys, I mean, even right now, you know, the guys are able to take care of their families. That's what you would hope, you know, was going on, you know what I mean? And you hear situations of guys even taking care of other guys on the team, you know what I mean? Sharing their bread with the other guys, you know what I mean? That don't have deals. So there's a plus in all of it. I like that the guys are getting their money, you know what I mean? And then I feel like at the end of the day, though, they need to make sure that they have, you know, the right people in their corner. And I hope that the schools are at least providing them with maybe some kind of financial assistance. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you come in like that taxes. Much money.
You got to pay taxes.
All that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know nothing about no 1099 when I was in college. So yeah, I mean, to Sauce's point, man, they definitely need to have guys in there to inform these cats and enlighten them on their finances, on saving their money. And I'm sure at Georgia, you know, we do that, and other schools. And I'm
sounds
sure
like a good like sounds like a good role for two former alumni that are now entrepreneurs themselves to go in there.
Hey, yeah, you know, if they talking good turkey, you know, me and some, we'll come down there and
oh for sure
get we that have situated.
A, we have a great team behind us too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, amazing.
That the guys can work with for sure. But yeah, I love that they at least you know you're getting broke off. And getting paid for your likeness. I mean, when I was they sold a jersey for like 20 G's. I didn't see nothing of that, you know?
I know that it's great that guys are getting paid, but, you know, when you see reports of like Travis Hunter getting reportedly up to $1.5 million to go to Jackson State as the number one recruit in the country, I mean, at what point – I mean, I'm all for free market. I want everybody to go make their paper boo-boo. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I want to do it. But when it comes down to it, eventually it's just like free agency with no salary cap. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going to happen then to the – because if you think the game has a balance issue now with Georgia and Alabama – let me tell you something. Ain't nobody got deeper pockets than them SEC alumni. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I mean, Texas A&M is out there, you know, slinging that oil money right now out there, the number one class in the country.
And that's the thing. It definitely don't have to do nothing with winning either, because they ain't won a big one.
I mean, they beat Bama.
Yeah, I'm talking about a natty. You know what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm saying? So it don't have to do – it's definitely got to do with the bag. Them donors dropping the bag off.
I don't know. I feel that way a little bit. But I feel like to get the big bags, your team got to be at least winning. No one wants to, you know, go to a school that ain't winning. And your deals might not be as big as if you go to an SEC school and they winning.
What my man say about Travis Hunter, bro? What'd he say? He'll go to where?
Jacksonville State.
No, where do you say he'd go for the bag?
I was talking to a trainer and I was talking to him about the Travis Hunter situation. I said, man, you know, Dion's out here saying that it didn't have nothing to do with no NIL money. He said, Blaine. He said Travis would have went to Idaho if it had paid him $1.5 million.
That's a lot.
It is. And then, Sasha, I mean, on the other side of that, you talk about it being life changing. You never know these kids' situation. It is life changing. It gives them a jump start on a lot of stuff. But to Blaine's point, it does kind of open the doors for kids to kind of do their own thing.
Well, think about it this way: how long has college football been around? Yeah. How long they been doing it to us? So I get it. Nah,
I'm good with it.
Nah, let the schools fight over the people over the players now. Hey, who got that biggest bag? You know,
eventually it'll correct itself, right?
Right. Because
there's only a certain amount of resources. You know, the budget is the budget, right? I mean, you can't just, you know, it don't grow on trees. So people have to eventually.
At that point, it's just about who got the bigger bag.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, you got like Texas with a you have Texas out there with a nonprofit that has been started by a Texas booster. It doesn't matter if you're the starting offensive lineman or the third string offensive lineman. If you are a scholarship offensive lineman at the University of Texas, you're getting $50,000 a year NIL deal from that nonprofit. So teams like that, like Texas. You know,
yeah. How they do it?
Might be gone. I don't know.
That's nice.
Yeah, so you can see that kind of stuff is going to make its way into play here, and there's going to be. So that's what I'm saying. It's almost like we've reached a point now with college football where, just like the NFL, I'm good with everybody going to make their money, and because basically. These are turning into mini professionals now, you know, but like, so it's almost like a minor league type system. There needs to be a commissioner of college football. Everybody needs to be playing under the same rules. Like it's fine if we want to do the NIL, but you can't have the SEC and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and everybody doing things a different way. Right. You know, you gotta even this thing out and figure out how you're going to do it. I'm not saying you put a cap on anybody's earnings, like if they are truly earning something like jersey sales and things like that. But in terms of just going out and buying players for in NIL, that's where it's going to get a little sketchy, you know?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been doing that, bro. I feel like they've been doing that. Maybe under the table, they've been doing it. But now it's just like, whatever. So –
TK is like, not me, but
yeah, no, hell no, not me at all. But they've been doing that, bro.
Now it's showing up on people's taxes. They get to write it off.
Yeah. Crazy. So, yeah, I can see how it can get messy for sure, but I guess we just gotta kind of see it and see what happens. You know what I mean? Well, kind of go from there.
Well, you know, it's a fascinating conversation. I appreciate you guys, you know, joining in. We're going to do – no, Sean, we'd love to have you this off season. Maybe bring you back, you know, after Monday.
He said he wanted to be a co-host.
Yeah, this is my first, so, you know what I mean? Y'all broke me in real nice.
We'll make it a trio, my man. I'm good with that.
I'm definitely down. You know what I mean? Like I said,
we got to work out this time zone mess. You out there in the mountains?
yeah, but I'm good on earlier. What y'all late out there? I thought y'all were going to go a little bit earlier.
I'm out of town this week, my man. We got a little bit different setup this
Everybody
week.
Everybody on different time zones.
But we're going to have a lot for all of you watching the Second to None podcast. We are the show on the Believe Podcast Network that covers all things SEC. We've got two SEC teams in the national championship game on Monday night. It's going to be great. This offseason, we're going to be talking, you know, all kinds of stuff in terms of the up and coming teams like Sam Pittman with the Arkansas Razorbacks. We're going to be talking about Shane Beamer, how he's getting South Carolina rolling. Speaking of a big development in college football, South Carolina bringing in Austin Stogner and Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma in the transfer portal. That's another game changer.
What if we get that guy?
I like it. I know. When we get the Oklahoma cat, man.
Caleb Williams. So nice. He's gonna take his time. He said he's gonna take his time. I will
you
say
know
what this.
He's gonna take his time. He's gonna go.
Who?
At all these schools, then you gonna go back to Oklahoma and be like, "Hey, brother, look here. This is what they offering over here, family."
I've heard anywhere the NIL value for Caleb Williams with his social media following and all that kind of stuff could be anywhere between 4 and 6 million. So I mean, because this is a guy, this is a guy who legitimately is good enough of a quarterback that if he were to go to a team that was a true contender, Like Oklahoma had some issues around him this year. True contender. This guy could be not only a one-time Heisman, maybe a two-time Heisman. I mean, that's how good he is.
Yeah, yeah, that would be
special. Man, why need him?
Yeah, for real. See, that's why I like that the guys are getting their money, man. This is the thing, though.
What we sending them, Sauce?
We got to send them something cakey.
How it work.
Rowdy Wellness is working out an NIL deal. Breaking news.
Listen, I'm happy that they're getting their money now, man, because they're only one player away, you know, knock on wood, you know what I mean, that they don't make it to the next level. And then you always hear that story where you're like, damn, man, I can't believe that happened to him. You know what I mean?
Well, here's my question, though. So DJ Uiagalelei signed a huge NIL deal with Dr. Pepper this year. DJ Uiagalelei and Clemson highly disappointed this year. So my question is, are these companies coming and saying, you know what? We're gonna have to restructure our deal. That if you're gonna be in the business, right? It's a business deal. You're gonna have to be open to, like, Jim Harbaugh, a coach, right? He gets paid to coach. Well, Michigan came to him after several disappointing years and said, "Hey, listen, Jim, you're gonna have to take a pay cut if you want to stay the coach at Michigan." He did. Now, to his fairness, to his credit, they marched right on and won the Big Ten this year. But there's some things that are going to have to go back and forth in here. JT Daniels ain't, you know, it's like Petey said on Remember the Titans, he ain't played it down all year. I'm the one making the play. Old Sunshine, we all looking at Sunshine for. He ain't played it down all year. JT Daniels he's got NIL deals with Roebuck. He's got NIL deals with Zaxby's. And they got Stetson Bennett playing quarterback over there. So that's what I'm saying. How do some of these NIL deals shake out when things don't work out the way they do? We're going to cover all of that kind of stuff. We're going to cover as we go into the offseason, some more recruiting, all that kind of stuff.
To that point, you can't necessarily look in another man's pockets. You can't just be pocket watching like that, though. You just got to be happy. Hey, man, you got to get what you can get in that sense.
Yeah, I know.
I get it. Don't correlate, like, the backup quarterback got the deals. I get that. Yeah. But hey, man, sometimes that's how it work out.
Oh, no, I'm saying those companies might be disappointed thinking they didn't get the return on the investment that they thought they would. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of the issue on that I think is going to – it's a two-way street. You know, if you're going to – it's going to be a free market – both sides are going to have ability to negotiate. So we're going to be talking about that stuff. We're going to be talking about Georgia's transfer portal and every team in the SEC transfer portal situation that will really crank up, not only after the national championship game, in my opinion, but also as we head into spring ball, because now these players, Noshon and TK, they're kind of using spring ball as, where do I sit on this depth chart? Now, I don't like my situation. I'm hitting the portal and going out. So we've got a lot to talk about this offseason. This is, like I said, is the Second and None podcast. We're in partnership with the Sideline Sports Network. You can see their logos over there on the side. 365 Sports YouTube channel is where we stream, and we're sponsored by Bet Online. Thank you so much for joining. If you don't do so already, hit the subscribe button, turn on notifications.
RecTech Sport.
Yeah, RecTech. Red Tech sent a grill. Noshon, TK may cook you up something.
He think he's slick.
But we appreciate everybody for joining. We got Noshon and TK both picking Georgia to win the national championship game on Monday. They're 3-point favorites. I'm withholding mine. You can check my score over at ugasports.com tomorrow on our website. So I appreciate everybody for joining. For TK and Noshon, I am Blaine Gilmer, and we will catch you next time on the Second to None podcast.